Today on Real Life Radio.
How does Satan attack Christians with other Christians? How does Satan attack a family with neighbors? No, with family members. Be wise and know where your fight is coming from and know that there's a spiritual warfare behind it. Understand that and fight for your home.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1. You know, judgment doesn't have to be our future. The Lord made a way of escape, and He's ready to forgive with abundant mercy all those who come to Him. You see, when this kind of horror during the Great Tribulation is on the movie screen, we know it's not real, right? But the thought of such things really happening and the suffering, the judgment, and hell, that is real. It might be too much to bear. So why should we really care about what's going to happen in the end? Because as much as we don't want to hear about it, Jesus spoke about it. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that during the Great Tribulation, Satan will fall from heaven one final time. For some, Satan may not be as powerful as you think he is, and for others, he's much more powerful than you think he is. But Satan is not all-powerful, and it is possible to resist him through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. Now in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Michael and his angels, that's God's soldiers. Michael's always in a fight when he shows up in the Bible. Michael, he's an archangel, fought with the dragon, that's Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was place found for them in heaven any longer. Verse 9 of Revelation 12. So the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to earth and his angels were cast out with him. The Bible says that Satan will fall from heaven. Here in the book of Revelation, it says that he fell, having fallen. The Bible says that he will be coming to earth. It's my opinion. You can jot it down, search it later. That in Revelation chapter 9 and Revelation chapter 12, I believe that's a parenthetical insert of the teaching and of the very event in the parenthetical way of what happened in chapter 12 is mentioned in here chapter 9. And so that's a very, very important thing. You might say, well, that's awful graphic. That's awful scary. Well, that's the whole point. Well, I don't know if I wanted my child to see any of that. That's why we have children's ministry in the building next door. Serious stuff coming upon the earth, God says. But listen. The Bible says, turn there if you would, jot it down if you would, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 6. Isaiah 14, verse 6 talks about Satan. And it says, it is he who struck the people in wrath with continual strokes. It is he who ruled the nations in anger and is persecuted and hindered it. The whole earth is set at rest and quiet now, for they break forth into singing. Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down. Listen, the prophet Isaiah speaks now and goes into an insert of Satan and his existence and his future. Nor woodsman has come up against us. Hell from beneath is excited about you. That is the prophet speaking about Satan. To meet you at your coming. It stirs up, it's dead for you. All the chief ones of the earth, it has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we are? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to hell, Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you. The worms cover you. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, this is Satan's fall, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's other angels, by the way. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In other words, I will be like God. Be careful when people knock on your door and say, you can become a God. Not good. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Who did not open the house of his prisoners? Is that not graphic? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28, if you would. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. Ezekiel 28, 13 says, you were in Eden, the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Listen to Satan's attire. The sardis, topaz, beryl, or diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels. Listen, Jewish scholars believe that Satan's hands are actually, when they come together, are the sound of a tambourine type sound based upon that statement right there. That's interesting, isn't it? Isn't it interesting? Also note that Satan led worship in heaven. His very movements seem to be that of music or worship. So he begins to say here that in the very days that he was created, that his, the timbrels and the pipes were prepared for you on the day that you were created. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers, that is the one who is in the presence of God. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were, what? Created. Satan's not eternal. He's been created. By the way, he was created perfectly. He was created good, but he exercised his will to evil. You were perfect in the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. Verse 16, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within you and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God and destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Satan went arrogant. You corrupted your wisdom from the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries, but the multitude, by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading, that is, by the way, believed to be the trafficking in human souls. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst and devoured you. I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples were astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. This is the plight of Satan found in the Bible. Revelation 12, 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil, notice, see it in your mind's eye, has come down, has been cast down, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. The great tribulation period is the coming of Satan to the earth and all of his violence as the last days will consummate. Three things I want to state to you. For some of you, Satan is not as powerful as you think he is. You blow him off and make light of him. Number two, for some of you, Satan is too powerful in the way that you, in your thinking. You've given him too much credit. For some of you, you don't know what you believe about him, if he even exists at all. Be careful. The truth of the matter is, he is a localized, real entity of hell. He's real. And he's not as powerful as some of you give him power for having, and then he's not as weak as some of you say or think that he is. The fact of the matter is, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, listen to this carefully. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. This is written to the Christian. Before I go any further, any of you having a rough time in life? You got any marriage problems, children problems, parent problems? Listen to this. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Give up. Obey God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him steadfastly in the faith. Can I kind of diverse for a second here? If you're having a problem in life, and you think that your child's the problem, or if you think your parents are the problem, if you think your husband's the problem or your wife's the problem, I want to tell you something. Whatever might be the outward problem, it's not so much a problem. The truth is, it's got you chasing your tail, and you've allowed it to become a great problem, because the Bible says, resist the devil steadfastly in the faith. Hey, if you're having a problem at home, at the job, in the office, with people, at life, with life, you know what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Give up. Stop being one that's got to win the fight. You've got to be on top. At the end of the day, you claim to be a Christian, but you've got to finish the fight, and you've got to have the last word. You know what? Wake up. You are not fighting your husband or your wife. You're not fighting your child. There's a demonic world behind them, working and pulling. And listen, Satan is smart. He knows not to send some overt, blatant temptation into your life. How does Satan attack Christians? With other Christians. How does Satan attack a family? With neighbors? No, with family members. Be wise and know where your fight is coming from, and know that there's a spiritual warfare behind it. Understand that and fight for your home. I'm tired of people giving up. Wives are giving up. Husbands are giving up. And they're failing to realize that they need to be walking in the Spirit, in the faith, knowing that your enemy is like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And you might be that person that he's trying to seek and to devour in your life. It's an important thing, and we're missing it as a church. He's a wicked, very evil foe. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. That's where it starts. If anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him. Here it comes. He gives the explanation. Three things. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. Three, the pride of life. Didn't Satan fall because of pride? What did he say? I will be like God. Ooh, pride of life. I want to be worshipped. He saw God being worshipped, and he said, I will exalt my throne above God's. You see that? That's the same for humanity. I want this. I want that. I want the power. I want the attention. Watch out. The Bible says resist him by building up your faith. Listen, how about this? Listen, Christian, I'm serious. And by the way, I want to thank those of you who have responded to our encouragement to get involved in this church. Thank you. But listen, build yourself up in your most holy faith, says the scripture. Resist Satan by, number one, launching out to do the impossible for God. Why? Because God gets all the glory if you do the impossible things for God. You can't do it. I can't do it. God will do it through you. Number two, resist him in the faith by building up your faith, obeying what God says instead of what we feel. Number three, resist Satan and build up your faith in the Lord by applying the Bible daily to your life. Are you reading through the Bible with us? Well over 3,000 Bibles were sold. We're reading it through it. Come on. If you've missed it, start today. Pick it up and get back on it. But how wonderful it is. In fact, Mother's Day this week. Today, what did we read this week in our scripture reading as a church? We read that Hannah was seeking God for a baby, didn't we? And she was not pregnant, and she couldn't get pregnant. And she said, Lord, I'll give you this child. He can be yours. Just let me birth him, and he'll grow up in your temple. I'll give him away to your service. And God said, all right, that's a deal. And she got pregnant. Listen, maybe for some of you this morning, maybe you can't get pregnant. Maybe God is speaking to you as you read through the Bible. He would have spoken to you this week. Maybe so. You know what? Dedicate this child to me. Dedicate it to God. Give it to him. Read the Bible. Apply it to your life. Resist him by building up your faith. Listen, by being right here, right now in service. Did you know that? Oh, listen on the radio. Not the same. Oh, get the tape. Not the same. Not the same. You know, the Bible builds into the believer a blessing for having come. Did you know that no matter what kind of technology advances in the future, there is nothing that God will allow to take the place of the fellowship of His people when we come together? That's a serious issue these days. Oh, I'll just stay home and view it on the internet. I'll just stay home and listen in on the radio program. If you have a broken leg, fine. If you're sick, I understand that. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 25, that in the last days, be careful, because many people will seek to gather together. And the Bible goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 10 that many will fall from the faith because their lack of commitment to gather together. You say, you're just saying that to get people to come to church. I'm not either. Obey Him and come together. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith is built up. Okay, church, keep this in mind about Satan. He has great power, but, you can jot that down. He has great power, but, he has great dominion, but, he has a great influence, but, all of these things are true because God allows it to be so. Are you with me? God allows it. I hope this blesses you in a moment. He is not eternal. He wants you to think He is. He is not all powerful. He is not all-knowing. He is not omnipresent. He's localized. Satan cannot be everywhere at once. You say, well, how can people be tempted from all over the world at the same time? Demons and the flesh and this world. We don't need Satan and his demons to get us off track. Did you know that? We are so able to get off track without, you know, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. For those of us, anybody over 40 in here? Young people are going, Flip? What? He used to come out there with his hands on his hip and say, the devil made me do it, and the devil get all the blame. I got news for you. We are well able to get in trouble all on our own without the devil's help. Satan is a liar. In John chapter 8, verse 41, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. Oh my. Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees in John 8, 41, and He says, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to Him, we were not born of fornication. We're of one Father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love Me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of Myself, but He sent Me. Why do you not understand My speech? Because you are not able to listen to My word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in Him. This is Jesus Christ, the creator of angels, speaking. Read His words carefully. He knows what He's talking about. When He speaks a lie, He speaks from His own resources, for He is a liar and the father of lies. So when we lie, we're acting like Satan. Isn't that serious? According to Jesus Christ, oh, ushers, guard the doors. According to Jesus Christ, you are either of your father, God in heaven, or you are either of your father, devil, in the devil, Satan in hell. There's not a genealogical tree. Jesus claims it's black and it's white. You're of God or you're not. And if you're not, Jesus says, you're of the devil. You say, man, that is so offensive. I told you this message is not conducive to church growth. I read a magazine that's out this week, Fastest Growing Churches in America. Do you know we're doing everything against what that book said to do? You never mention hell. Only positive messages. Don't go verse by verse through the Bible. And listen, no message should last longer than 20 minutes because people don't have the ability to stay tuned in. Now, I don't know if you're coming for abuse or what, but when I tell people, you guys, this church sits through 55 minutes of the Word, people don't believe me when I travel. They don't believe it. People are going, did he say 55 minutes? He's not done. You can see the visitors, they're going, let's go now. Come on, let's go. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, Satan, or the thief, referring to Satan, does not come except to kill or to steal, to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. That's Jesus. A lot of people, including myself, were tempted to say, God, why did you allow this? Or how come this? And Lord, why are you doing that to me? And how come the other thing? Satan. God says that Satan has come to rob, to kill, and to destroy. We need to start giving credit where credit's due. You say, yeah, but a moment ago you said that God allows it. This is true. However, you walk out of the covering of God and you're on your own. Those of you who are not Christians, you've only even got here this morning by the grace of God. You know, if your life is super blessed, it's because it says the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. But listen, if you're struggling, you've walked out from underneath that umbrella. Come back. Like we sang in that one song this morning, come back to God. Come back to Him. It's very important. Another thing that we want to look at this morning is the truth that Satan has fallen. Jesus says he's fallen from heaven as though lightning falls from heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Luke 10, 17. Then the 70, that is the disciples, as the disciples were growing, returned with joy. Jesus sent them out on an evangelistic mission, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Isn't that cool? Church, listen, while the disciples were out ministering, Jesus in the spirit, he saw Satan fall from heaven, suffering a great blow as ministry takes place. Isn't that cool? I've said it before, I'll say it again. Look, we're flanked by three major roads here. We've got the Pipeline Avenue, we've got Eucalyptus Avenue, and we've got a freeway going by. Don't you want to have Satan, if he's in a little spiritual car with some demons, drive either on any one of those roads? They drive by and go, oh man, stay away from that place. Those people rock for God. Keep going, speed up quick. Let's put our helmets on. They're praying, go, go, go. Oh man, quick, get off Eucalyptus Avenue. That's that church that sends people out in the missions fields and people are starting churches and they go down to Mexico and they go to Germany. Go, 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 go. We don't want to even be around that place. Actually, they wouldn't say that. We want to be around that place. Ministry happens, Satan falls from heaven. I love it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1. We're glad you could join us today for this amazing series. When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. All right, this is Davey J, and I have Pastor Jack in the studio with me. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Davey. Good to see you.
So, our book of the month, it's incredible. It really is. But man, is that a title and a half, right?
Okay. The book of the month is incredible.
Yeah.
And the title is incredible.
It is incredible.
In fact, listen, everybody, I don't want to scare you away by the title. So, listen, here goes. It's socialism. That's the title of the book.
Yeah.
The subtitle is The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. And that's by William Federer. And I know that's a whopper, everybody. And you're thinking already, I'm tired from reading the title. Please, please get this book. Number one, I have to tell you all, if you're going to buy any book on socialism, this is the one to buy because he is a researcher.
Yeah,
and
true.
He does his homework and it is exhaustive. It is encouraging because he's going to let you in on how to identify and really find out what in the world your kids are being taught in their public school system. So this is a must for our Book of the Month friends.
So, Pastor, my friends that might not understand the concept of socialism or how dangerous it can be, would you say this might be a book to refer them to or something I can use to equip myself in order to respond to that?
There is no doubt that this is the book for that very thing. Number one, his credibility as an author just stands alone.
Right.
Everything's footnoted, so you can check and see. But absolutely, yes, socialism is here. It's in America. If we don't stop it in the next 5 to 10 years, it will be the new politics of America. So it's not only a great thing to know, yes, it's a great thing to pass on to others.
Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.